Good morning and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church Resurrection. I was going to say Resurrection Sunday, but for us it's Saturday. We're praying that you're well and we hope that this will be a help and an encouragement to you. We're going to begin with a word of prayer and then we're going to sing There Is a Green Hill Far Away. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this new day, for the lovely sunshine, for life and health and strength. And Lord, it just makes everything seem brighter and cheerier. And I pray you please that you would work in the hearts and minds and the bodies of each and every one of your children this morning. Please put your good hand upon Monica and myself as we have our little time together with you. Please, Lord, put your good hand upon each soul that listens to this service. I do pray you this morning, Lord, for Ling and Frank and Dr. Shang, for John and Will and Christine, for Rita, especially for Elaine and Hilary. You remember too Esther and Christy, and Norman, and Pat and Steve, and especially we Henry at this time, their grandson. Pray for Carol and John, and of course young Stephen as well. We remember too our wider congregation in these interesting times. Remember Jane and Carol, Stephen and Marie. We remember too Henry and Sally and Sammy and Kate and Alan and Pearl, and pray you, Lord, please, that souls would be saved, and that saved souls would be edified and lifted up, comforted and strengthened. Lord, please do look after our loved ones that we're separated from at this particular time. I think especially on my dad and Monica's mom and dad, their sons and daughters and mothers and fathers that can't be contacted directly, but and just spoken to over the phone. Please, Lord, I pray you, look after them. Pray you too for Boris Johnson, Lord. I know he's still ill. I pray that this would give him a little bit of a greater perspective when it comes to making decisions, not just now, but in the future. I pray you, Lord, for President Trump as he makes decisions in America for, and I'm probably going to get this wrong, but Li Xiping, I think it is, the president in China, or is it Xi Jinping? I can't remember. I'm going to have to go and look that up, Lord, but you know who we're talking about. And I pray you, please, that all of these leaders would not be not be in this present-day turmoil to look good, but to do good. Sadly, Lord, there's a big difference. Please put your good hand upon the leaders of all the countries in the world and please, Lord, give them the wisdom to do what's right. Convict greatly about sin and judgment to come. And please, Lord, through it all, preserve Israel. Help Israel, Lord, at this time. Bless and keep them. Now, Father, I pray that you would lead us and guide us through the service, that you would put your good hand upon Francis Cosgrave of the Christian Institute, Kids for Schools, Open Doors, and any organization or church, Lord, that is reaching out with the full counsel of your word. Bless and keep them. Pray as well for the preachers that we know. Pray for Brother Stan up in Bangor. Pray for Brother Bissett in Temple Patrick. We pray you too, Lord, for Pastor Asquith and Pastor Hayne. Pray you, Lord, for Pastor Isaacson, Pastor Fox, Brother Forrest, if I forget some, Lord, please forgive me. We remember too at this time, Pastor Isaacson, Travis Snowd. We remember too, Lord, the Randalls, the Foxes. And we pray as well, Lord, for the Smiths too. Lord, for Julian Robinson, for Ian Brown, for Johnny Campbell, for Johnny Crane. Lord, for anybody that stands up, even if they stand up to preach it out of contention, Lord, that the gospel would be preached. that souls would hear it and be edified, and given this particular time, Lord, they would come to the foot of the cross and be saved. Lord, there are so many things and so many people. Bless us now, Lord, as we spend this time with you. Bless the hearers of it, Lord. Bless us too. And Father, we just love you and thank you. We pray all this, Lord, and of course our many private prayer requests and petitions, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and according to your will. Amen. Amen. You know, sometimes whenever you get started, it's hard to stop. Hymn number 6, we're going to sing this. This is in our little black books, but I think Monica's forgetting the words for this, aren't you? Hymn number 6.
Okay.
Sure, by the time you get to listening to this, and this is what it's all about. Without Resurrection Sunday, we're just another religion following man's laws that man made to give them an advantage over man. But this is what makes the difference. This is what our Lord and Savior did that nobody else could ever do. Amen. All right. We are going to have a little reading this morning. This one is from James chapter 1, and I want to thank Steve. I'm doing this. I'm Steve Stump Double, I'm sure. I'm a pale shadow of Brother Steve, and Brother Steve would normally be doing the readings. For us right now, I am being his stump double. So I pray this is a help to you. James chapter 1. The Word of God says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich
in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creature. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the unrighteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful doer, but a doer of the work, sorry, a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Amen. All right. This is normally the point in the service that we would read the announcements out. And there really aren't any new announcements except to say that by the signs of things, the lockdown may go on a little bit longer than some people were expecting, but please do be very careful. I know there are a few of us in Bethel that don't keep the best and have underlying health conditions that could lead to a weakness if we ever had to fight this off, and I'm praying we don't. Please do continue to pray for me. I certainly need your prayers, especially of late. My setback is the ground, I think, is being made up a little bit. Please do pray for that. Please do remember Steve. He has a few health difficulties that would leave him open to a very bad bout of this virus. Pray for Norman too. He has a chest infection at the moment. So please do pray that he comes back from that. Pray for Stephen. He needs to get saved. We're praying a lot for him. And pray for Carol too, and John. We just pray for each other. Nobody wants to get it, and there are seemingly a lot of healthy young people that have picked it up and gone into eternity. So that means you, Frank, and you're not here and you still get a tough time, but please do pray for each other. Don't forget as well William and Rachel and wee Lillian, and do pray for my nephews over, nephew and niece-in-law, is that the way that works? My nephew and his wife and their little baby, that's Jonathan and Chris and little Darcy. So please do pray. She's just so cute. You just want to pinch their wee cheeks, so you do. But please do remember that. Pray for Boris Johnson. I think he's out of intensive care. He's still not doing the best. Again, pray for him, for wise decisions for Arlene Foster and our neck of the woods. And
goodness, for the leaders all over the world. There will be tens of thousands of souls that go into eternity, and sadly most of them will be a Christless eternity. Please do pray for those souls that are left behind. It's very, very important. We don't forget our church of Maboy Road, not in Maboy Road. We have been putting the CDs in through the letterboxes of various souls on the road, and we do pray for them as well. I would like for you to pray for Maslin and Georgina Fleckner and their boys. I think the boys need to be saved, but Georgina and Maslin are planning on moving down this neck of the woods very, very soon. We pray the Lord's will be done in that regard. Pray for Monica and myself. A lot of people ask what it is that you do to put in the time whenever you're ill. Or whenever you're ill, whenever you're avoiding the coronavirus. Well, some of my day is put in just sitting down. But from one week to the other, it takes about between 3 and 4 days in the week to carry out the services. There's preparation, there's the preparation of the notes, the delivering of the service, and then there's the more preparation of the service on Facebook and on www.bbcib.com, and of course the CDs. And if you're listening to this and you think maybe there'd be somebody who would benefit from a CD, just drop us a line on 077-200-79544 and we will get that sorted out, or send me an email. Please do continue to pray for the Charity Commission. I know most of these things are shut, and they will be inundated with requests whenever they open up again, and of course our solicitors as well, as it comes to the preparation for the sale of the land. Private prayer requests, we're just assuming everybody has them, Ling and Will. I'm just talking the usual suspects, and Esther and Christy and Pat and Steve, Monica and myself, and John and Carol. If I've missed anybody, forgive me. Please do pray for wee Rita. She doesn't keep well, but our two daughters are looking after. They've got their. It'll be no change for them. They're still looking after Rita. And pray for Esther in her home as well. I think that's about that. We're glad to be alive. It's great to see the nice weather. Hoping and praying that it's onwards and upwards, that you stay safe. And we covet your company and your prayers, and look forward to seeing you at the next appointed time. So, amen. God bless you. I'll have a word of prayer, and then we will sing another song, number 36 in the hymn books. This time it'll be hymn number 36. But we're going to pray first of all. Heavenly Father, we do indeed thank you. Please, Lord, I pray you, would you consider all of the names? I know this may seem like a shortcut prayer, Lord, but there's just so much to pray about. Please do pray, Lord, and touch each soul that's taken the time to visit with you, Lord, to be in the presence of your Holy Spirit. Please touch each one of us. More than that, Lord, please speak to the hearts and minds of those that are running from you, Lord, trying to avoid the consideration of eternity. Lord, it's incumbent upon us, it's our burden to show, Lord, that in spite of everything that's going wrong, we can look up and see you and know that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and we're engraven in the palm of your hand, and nobody can take that away from us. We love you, Lord. We thank you. We pray that you would grant our private prayer requests and petitions, that you would keep each soul in the church well, and not just our church, Lord, but churches across the world. Lord, even those that in gathering have made people ill, Lord, I pray an understanding and a forgiveness and a healing for them. Let us remember, Lord, that this is only for a little while, and that things will get back to normal before too long, although hopefully not the old normal, Lord, but a new normal with more souls clinging to you. We thank you and love you, Lord, and we just ask all this in the name of your Son, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Hymn number 36. We're going to stand and sing Christ Arose. You can stand and sing it if you like.
And that's why we're here, because Christ arose. That, I heard a preacher say, that would put a shout in a corpse. Amen. Well, if you want to be getting your next hymn ready, we'll be getting to that in about a half an hour, give or take. You know how long services last in Bethel. In the meantime, if you would take your Bibles and open them this morning to Matthew chapter 11, we are going to bring you our Resurrection Sunday service. And this one is called Great Expectations. No, it's not an English lesson. I think that was a novel. Who was that? Do you know who that was written by? I think that was one of those oldie, worldy, Englishy type novels, and it shows you how much attention I paid in school. Thankfully, we never actually studied it, so I have a bit of an excuse. I think there was a show made of it and a film, I'm sure at least one. But anyway, we're glad to have you with us. This is Resurrection Sunday on, for us, Saturday, the 11th of April. My goodness, May will come along and it will be here in a flash. I pray that you stay well. Keep your hands and minds busy. And they used to say many years ago, whenever they advertised the Yellow Pages, before the advent of the commonality of the internet, whenever you're looking for a telephone number, let your fingers do the walking. Well, you might not be able to get out and go anywhere and do everything that you want to do, but you can let your fingers do the walking through the Word of God. And I guarantee you, if you keep your eyes peeled, you will see things that, as Jesus said, have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Amen. Matthew chapter 11, beginning at verse number 1. And unlike a real service, if at any time I make a Bible reference and you want to turn there, you can actually switch me off for a moment and go find it. But anyway. And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto them, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in king's houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you will receive it, this is Elias which was for to come. That's in Malachi chapter 4 verse 5. And the Lord finishes off this portion of our reading with the words, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Amen. We're going to take verses 7, 8 and 9 where the Lord challenges people about their reasons for coming to hear John the Baptist and indeed himself and the many preachers that have preached the gospel since the days that the Lord walked and talked with us in Galilee. Amen. We'll pray briefly again and then we will continue. Heavenly Father, bless this time in your word.
our time together, if not in the flesh, but certainly in the spirit. Open our understanding and put your good hand upon each and every one of us. Save those souls that don't yet know you as Saviour, and help those that do, Lord, to keep going. Pray for healing and strength and comfort, for peace of mind, for direction and purpose, even in these days, whenever nothing's happening. We love you and thank you, and pray and covet your presence with us now, Lord. Amen. Amen. Verse number 7, 8 and 9 is our text where the Lord, or the word of God said, "And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, what went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Or what went ye out to see? A prophet?" Those three verses will be the verses that we are using for our text this morning. And here, the Lord is explaining John's role in things. John himself did a little bit more explanation in the book of John, not John the Baptist, but John the Apostle. And he said, look, yes, Malachi chapter 4 and verse number 5 tell us that there was going to be a day where a herald of the Lord, a forerunner for the Lord, would come and make straight his paths. In other words, would prepare men's hearts and minds to hear the preaching of the cross. And this is John. This is what Jesus was saying. But John himself said, "I am only come to prepare the way. I am not the way." In John chapter 14, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And John said, "I must decrease, but he must increase." And it might seem a tricky situation. And it might seem as though it was a feel-good book for the Jews, because they were having a difficult time. They were under the not-so-gentle heel of the Roman Empire at that particular time. And there were many insurrections that had been put down, sometimes quite brutally. And it wasn't going to be but another 30 or so years until the place, even the temple, was burned to the ground. But the gospel is not just a Jewish book. It's not just to the Jews, and it's not just to the Christians, because as John preached the gospel, even the soldiers came that listened to him and said, "What should we do? We have seen the light, we are trusting in God, and we know that we should be doing something other than what we're doing now. What should we do?" And John said, "Be content with your pay and do no violence to any man," because nobody would have said anything if they'd killed someone that was under in a subjugated empire. But these were the men that hated the Jews, but had conquered them and brought them to heel. And you would think that there would be no interest in the Jewish religion, but there are a number of examples of whole companies of Roman soldiers coming to know Jesus Christ. Anyway, I am sure many people expected John to keep going for years, but Jesus here is telling exactly what John's job was: to prepare the way. And here the Lord goes on to speak not just about John, but the expectations people had, again, not just of John, but of the gospel. The challenges, and he challenges souls on the reasons for them doing things. He says to them, "Did you expect to be entertained? Did you expect to come out and see a reed shaken in the wind?" And I don't know if you've ever had the opportunity here. There's a bit of swampland on a cycle path that takes you from the New Bridge into St. Columb's Park, through St. Columb's Park, and it goes along the railway, and there's some swampy ground, and when the wind blows, the reeds rattle, and they make a sound. It's an interesting sound, and it would certainly attract your attention. He said, "Why did you go out to see John? Was it just to put in an hour? Was it just to hear something new? Was it to be entertained or amused?" I once heard somebody talk about the word amused. To muse on something means to think on something. To be amused means not to be thinking on something. Was it just a break from the daily grind? A reason to be away doing something else?
people did turn out for that. The Pharisees turned out for a whole different reason whenever John came preaching, and John said to them, "Who is you generation of vipers? Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" People turned out for a whole bunch of reasons. Maybe some even turned out just to be seen turned out, or to have something to talk about to the neighbours whenever they got home. "Oh, did you see that guy out there? He wasn't dressed in long robes. He didn't have a black dress on with a white petticoat on outside and a shirt on back to front. He was out preaching in jeans and an old rough shirt and a pair of boots." Because that's probably what John would have been preaching if he came today. He was in a leather girdle and a coat of camel's hair, not a working man's clothes. Anyway, the Lord goes on to say, did you expect to see someone out there in swanky clothes? Because it's a thing with people. If we see somebody with a nice car, if we see somebody with nice clothes, a good haircut, cutting a fine figure of a person, they tend to draw people to them because they think that if they stand in close to them and rub up against them, that some of whatever they have is going to rub off on them. And that's why the likes of Rick Warren and the Purpose Driven Church are so popular. "Oh, I've got tons of money, houses everywhere. I don't know if he has jet planes, but we'll say for the sake of the message, and jet planes and a new car every day. And if we attend his services, we'll get that like that too. Let's go to his services." And he comes up with tripe like, "Oh, put your money in the plate. The largest bill, the Lord, if you take the largest bill out of your pocket and put it in the plate, God will reward you tenfold or a hundredfold." Not appealing to people's spirituality, but to their greed. I remember one of those health, wealth and prosperity preachers disappeared for a month or so. And what actually happened to him, people would send checks and bills in the mail to him. And he had gone and gotten a facelift to take away the wrinkles under his eyes. And whenever he was challenged on it, he said, "Oh, I got that because the ink was running into my eyes as I cried and wept over people's prayers and the teardrops." And I said, that would be a double miracle because teardrops fall down, not up. And they found that they had a whole crew of people opening letters, taking the money and the checks, cashing them and chucking all of their requests in a skip. Anyway, what did you go out to see? What did you go out to see? Did you go out to get a bit of that health, wealth and prosperity, a wee bit of that power? Or maybe you went out to hear the gospel. And we do know that people did go out to hear the gospel because they're quoted in the Gospels. What should we do? Even the tax collectors, the people that were probably hated even more than the Romans because they were Jewish working on behalf of the Romans. They were like traitors. What should we do? They said to John, he said, take no more than what's expected of you or of the people. Well, I can guarantee you, anybody that heard John the Baptist preach heard the gospel. Even Herod heard the gospel. And he was on the wrong side of it because John said, "Herod, it's not right that you should be married to your brother's wife. He's still alive." The end of it all, got himself locked up. And we know not the sad end, but the only end of John. Whenever in a fit of lust and pique, he promised up to half his kingdom to his stepdaughter that danced seductively in front of him. And she, being prepared beforehand by her mother, requested John's execution. Anyway, John preached the gospel. And it made a difference because, as one of the Pharisees' soldiers or servants said, he speaks with power and he speaks with authority. And that's the thing about the word of God, whether it's preached for real by someone genuinely wanting people to be saved, or whether it's preached out of contention and mocking. The word of God has power in itself to convict souls. And so my challenge is to you today, why have you tuned in? Why have you spun up this CD? Why have you clicked on this link for this Resurrection Sunday? Did you tune in to be entertained? Did you want to hear some funny stories? There was a man walked into a bar and said, ouch, it was an iron bar. Will that be the thing that you remember from this message? I'm sorry, but I try to be an interesting, a convicting preacher. I don't try to be an entertaining preacher. If you're here for the chocolate eggs, or the chocolate chicks, or the chocolate bunny rabbits, you're in the wrong place, because first of all, there's nobody here but us. And if you give somebody, if you give people, most times, this is a funny thing right now, Derry is renowned, and I must admit, there's a bit of that in me as well, is renowned as having a lot of people that want something for nothing, but if you handed somebody something right now, they would look at you twice and turn their nose up at it. They're afraid of getting bugs, or they'd have all the antiseptic wipes out and they'd be cleaning it down. Are you here for a wee chocolate egg? Are you here just to put in an hour or two because you think you should be here? Do you just want to be amused? Do you just want something to put in these? And let's be honest, if you've nothing else to do of a day, the days are very long. Are you here to put in a very long day? Or are you wanting something to talk about? Oh, the preacher, he said this and he said that and he didn't mention me in the prayer list, and if I didn't, don't worry about it. You might not be mentioned in the one that's recorded, but you're mentioned in the one that God records. So don't worry, your name is lifted up to heaven. Are you hoping to be entertained? Are you hoping I'll provide something that the now defunct sports channel is not providing? Or are you hoping I'm going to give you the recipe for health, wealth and prosperity? I'm afraid you're in the wrong church. We know that many of our members have aches and pains and illnesses even now. And I am a case in point. Are you hoping for no more aches or pains? Friends, the Lord said, it is appointed unto us to suffer for Jesus Christ's sake. Not for his sake, but because we are his children. So that people can see that we don't run to pop pills, we don't run to alcohol, we don't run to pleasure whenever we're convicted or whenever we're in difficulty. We run to Jesus. Anyway, are you hoping that if you listen to this that I'll have the lotto numbers, or I'll have a good stocks tip for you that you can pick up a couple of £100,000 worth of stocks, and then whenever everything gets back to normal, you'll be a millionaire? I'm afraid the only tip I have for everything working out for the best is in Romans 8 and verse 28, where the Lord says that we know that everything works together. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord, that means to people that have trusted him as their Savior, and to them that are the called according to his purpose. In other words, if you're doing what God wants you to do. If you want your money problems to be over, start putting your tithe in the plate. I guarantee you it will sharpen you up. It will concentrate your mind on what's right and what's wrong, what you need and what you don't need. Because even billionaires have money problems. And I am sure that if you do things God's way, your health will improve to a certain extent. Whenever you put the drugs and the drink and the cigarettes and one thing and another off to one side. I'm afraid if you want a pat on the back to be told that everything is okay, I can't say that. Difficult times may come your way, just like they come the way of the block of stone that the artist has in front of him. It doesn't get to be a statue without getting a few blows with a hammer and a chisel. We don't get to be the beautiful things that God wants us to be without suffering the heat of temptation and trial, without a little bit of patience. Or did you turn on, spin up, or click this morning to hear the gospel? And maybe a little bit more. What did Jesus say? A prophet, and more than a prophet, he said of John. Not just a reminder, but a personal reminder from God to you. And anyone that has ever walked in the face of this world will always be a lesser person for not taking time to find out about the Word of God. It's amazing. It is. It'll raise your eyebrows. It's wonderful. It's comforting. It's strengthening. It's a book full of power, as it says in Romans chapter 1, unto salvation, not just of your life, your soul forever, but of your life right now, if you'll follow God. And it's not written to the whole world. It's written to each person in the world. And that's a hair I'd like to split just for a moment. Just because Jesus died on the cross doesn't mean we're all going to heaven. Jesus died on the cross so whosoever will accept him as their Saviour will go to heaven. But this book that we read from has been preserved, and it's promised by God that it would always be preserved. As long as there's an earth spinning around the sun, the word of God will be here. And it's for each one of us. And that means for you and me. There are so many ways to slice potatoes, to prepare potatoes, aren't there? You can boil them in their skins. Don't forget, all the vitamins are in the skins. You can peel them and boil them. You can mash them. You can bake them. You can chip them. You can sauté them. You can even mash them and then bake them with cheese on them on top of a shepherd's pie or a cottage pie. And that's the way the Word of God is. You can talk about the prophecy. You can talk about the history. You can talk about the Savior. And today, I want to spend to look at it the way it spoke of Jesus. In the Old Testament, for thousands of years, there was example after example in the lives of Adam and Eve, in the lives of Noah and his family, in the lives of Joseph, in the lives of Moses. Example after example of Jesus Christ. And there were just out and out prophecies that were to do with the Messiah, the Savior. Basically, for thousands of years, the Old Testament has not warned us, told us to prepare for the fact that Messiah is coming. Not us as in each one of us, but us as a creature, us as in mankind. And then for 33 years, the Gospels recorded his life and times when he walked among us again. The rest of the New Testament tells us he is coming back. And if you take a look around you and have a wee look in Matthew 24 and Isaiah chapter 5 and 6 and goodness, Jeremiah 31, Zechariah 12. Goodness, there's so much and so many signs that his return is, goodness, it's so soon, it's at the very door. And all of these things hinge on the work of God and the labor of love that he accomplished for each soul in the world through his Son, Jesus Christ. This may not be a typical Resurrection Sunday service, but I want for you to follow along with me. Jesus doesn't sit on a throne in heaven waiting for people to come up and tell him how wonderful he is. Even before he gave his life on the cross of Calvary, the Lord was busy. He was forever inspiring men, speaking to men, even appearing to men, and working in the background in the hearts and minds of those that loved him and hated him. First of all, he allowed himself to be born of a virgin, basically an illegitimate birth, into an underprivileged home, under the heel of a foreign and a hostile Roman Empire. He grew up, and at some point, his dad died. He didn't have a strong, well, to our eyes, to the world's eyes, a strong male role model. But yet and all, he learned enough about carpentry to be known as Jesus of Nazareth, the carpenter. He ended up giving up his job and spending 3 years as probably one of the most poorly paid, dangerous activities in that neck of the woods as an itinerant preacher. If you set yourself up as a king in the face of Caesar, you could end up being dead for your bother. He was betrayed by his brethren. Betrayed by one of his most trusted disciples. He was abandoned by his brethren. He was illegally arrested. He was unjustly sentenced. He was beaten to a bloody pulp and then nailed to a wooden cross. And there he hung for hours, as every single sin that every single person has ever committed since man was called up from the dust was heaped down upon him. There he suffered separation from God for the first time ever, so that we would never have to be separated from God. And there he gave up his life for each and every one of us. Not so that we would be saved, but so that we could be saved. Now, if that had stopped there, he would have been known as a noble man. He would have had a name somewhere in the footnotes of history. But he didn't stop there. 3 days later, he raised himself from the dead. He secured for everyone, for anyone that would accept him, the greatest victory that mankind has ever aspired to. And I don't mean over the Roman Empire or the Greek Empire or the Nazis or the communists or the fascists. I don't mean over that. I mean over sin and death. And Jesus bought that for us with his own shed blood. Sin, as in the penalty for sin for those that trust in the Saviour. The power of sin day by day for those that look to him as Lord. And even the very presence of sin whenever we stand in glory with him. Hopefully not one day soon, but as the Lord wills and provides. And of course, death by sin. Whenever the Lord says that whosoever believeth in me shall not perish but have everlasting life, he means right now. Your everlasting life starts as soon as you ask Jesus to be your Saviour and trust him. And that's why we're here today. And for those that have turned away from their sins and turned to Jesus alone as their Saviour, that's why Christ will spend every day of your life with you, always there, always keeping an eye out for you, always listening to your prayers, and forever in eternity. No other reason, not because you're good looking, not because you're muscly or fit, not because you're well educated or very eloquent in your speech, simply because you ask Jesus Christ to be your Saviour. Now, if that's all that he had done, people would say, oh, that's a made-up story. So he did a bit more. For the next 40 days after that he was raised from the dead, he was seen alive by more than 500 people. And for a thing to be a legal fact, you only need two witnesses. What does the Bible say? In the mouths of two or three witnesses, every word will be confirmed. And that is still a legal fact today. Two witnesses will see a man to the end of a rope if he's not careful. It is a legal fact, and it is an historical fact. After he was raised from the dead, he spoke to his disciples. He cooked dinner for his disciples. He even forgave certain of his disciples. Thomas and Peter spring to mind. He was hugged by his disciples. He said, look, hold me, touch me, feel me. A ghost, a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. And by the way, have you anything to eat? He fellowshipped with his disciples. And by many infallible proofs, he showed himself to be alive after that he had given up the ghost. I am sure many of his disciples, his apostles, remembered then. I remember him saying that he had the power to lay down his life and he had the power to take it up again. And there have been religious rulers, even at that time, that had popped up and said that they were great men of God. But once they were put to death, their little cult just disappeared. But this Jesus came back. I'm sure that marked the powers that be in the day, but he came back. And for 40 days he did all these things, and then he went up into the clouds in front of them. And now he sits at the right hand of the Father in heaven. And you would think that after dealing with us for 33 years, after giving your life for us, after walking about with us in a glorified body for another 40 days, you would think you'd be done. But even now, our loving Saviour, and he is something special, let me tell you, because he loves you and he loves me. He sits at the right hand of the Father when the old devil, who is nothing but a troublemaker, tries to stir up trouble between you and God. Jesus leans over when the devil comes up and rightly accuses you of your lies, of your thefts, of your adulteries, of your murders, of your blasphemies. He rightly accuses you because, let's be honest, friends, we still sin. Jesus leans over and says, Dad, I paid for that. He intercedes with us even yet. And it is all of those things. It was all of the words on the run-up to his crucifixion. It was his death on the cross, but most importantly, his resurrection alive in the flesh. That turned those disciples that were hiding in the upper room. Oh no, what are we going to do? Our leader that could calm the winds and the waves, walk on the water, cast out demons, raise the dead, heal the sick, make the blind to see, and all that. He's dead. What are we going to do? It was the resurrection that turned them from frightened little children into the men of God that we know that preached the gospel without any regard for their lives, and many of whom went into an eternity with Christ, with their blood shed because of the Word of God. Jesus was, whenever he was on this earth, and before that was called the Lamb of God, speaking of the sacrifice that he came to make. Sacrifice that began in the Garden of Eden was echoed through the laws that the Lord gave to the Jewish people. A lamb, an innocent sacrifice, the lamb of the first year without spot and blemish. And that's what Jesus came to be. But whenever the resurrection came along, he is now going to be coming back not as the Lamb of God, but the Lion of Judah. It talks about him having a rod of iron, ruling with a rod of iron. And this is what happened to those men that hid in the upper room with their little, I don't know if you ever see a little lamb's tails waggling when they're excited or they're upset. But that's what they were doing, little lambs. But when Jesus came back, they became lions of the gospel. I loved some of the comments that the disciples, the apostles made whenever they were challenged by the scribes and the Pharisees about not speaking any more in the name of God because we could have you beaten and arrested. And they said, well, we really don't care what you say. We are going to preach the gospel. And they said, you will bring this man's blood upon us. And I can pretty much tell you with my hand and my heart, nobody else can bring God's blood upon you. That's your job. It is your sin. And it is either your willingness to repent of it or that will have God's, Christ's blood paid to your account, or it is your unwillingness to turn away from it that will prove you guilty of that. Anyway, this is an historical fact. And even our godless countries, our post-Christian countries, they still stop for a day and hold their breath, or maybe take a breath, whenever this country takes time to consider that great work that Jesus did 2,000 years ago on the cross. We still stop. The shops close. The car park's empty. For all but a few stores are closed. And even on Christmas, when we take the time to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, the places close. The world takes a breath, pretty much. It was a fact.
that Jesus gave his life on the cross. I believe every single word of the Bible. I believe even the front of it where it says the Holy Bible. And you might think, aye, but you're just a gullible old preacher that's sold out for God. Well, one of those things is right, but I'm not a gullible. I'm the most cynical preacher you will ever come across. And I have always been a show me. What's the state in America called the show me state? Missouri. If anybody from Missouri is listening to this, and you are the show me state, you'll know what I mean. If you're not, whoever is, you'll know what I mean. I had to have the gospel preached to me. And I had to have the gospel that the world would preach to me too. And when I saw that they matched up, not in their meaning, but in the content that was mentioned in the Word of God, that people would start to believe, and the signs of the times and the technologies and all of those things, I said, I have to believe the gospel. I must believe the gospel. And someone says, why? Because it works. Because that great work that Christ finished on the cross, and he did say it was finished. There is no more payment for sins. There's no prayer. There's no money that'll pay for sins. There's no prayer that'll pay for sins. There's no sacrifice that we can make that will ever pay for sins. Because in the words of the Pharisees, who can pay for sins or forgive sins but God only? It was all through Jesus. So we set this time aside and we consider the great gift that has been given us. The great work that went into that great gift. And we pray and thank the Lord for the good sense to listen to the conviction of the Holy Spirit and to say yes whenever the offer was made. And we pray for those that have not had the good sense to admit their sins and trust in Christ as their Savior yet. Before we go, we just need to remind you that there's no one too good in this world that doesn't need to get saved, that doesn't need to tell God, God, look, I'm sorry for my sins. Will you have mercy on me and save me? There is nobody too good. There is no teacher, no mother, no father, no granny. There is no world leader, religious or otherwise, that is so good that they don't need to get saved. And there is no one that's too bad in this world that can't be saved by Jesus. There's no prostitute, no mass murderer, no thief, no liar, no blasphemer that can't be saved if they will repent of their sins and trust Christ as their Savior. It's a one-size-fits-all, free, forever, and sure salvation that the Creator of this universe went to extraordinary, supernatural lengths to prepare and accomplish. And we would do well to remember that. The Lord loves each and every one of us, not as a group, but as an individual. And we should not be thinking on this just, we shouldn't just be considering this at Easter or Christmas time. If we considered Jesus Christ every day of our lives, the world would be a much better place. So while we take a breath from all of our running about, and I suppose we're taking a double breath because most of the days in the week now we're taking a breath from all of our running about with our viruses and our shut-ins, don't forget what Jesus did for you. Even shut in this world, trusting Christ as your Savior, you can walk the halls of heaven as you go to tell God about everything that bothers you. Don't forget what Jesus did for you. The love that constrained God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit to come to you in history and in sacrifice and conviction and salvation to make you a child of the King of Kings. Don't forget that. Give you that great victory at the cost of his own life. We do ourselves a great disservice by not going and seeing. When the Lord says, what did you go to see? I remember coming to the church a few times and being bored out of my skull because I didn't go to church to hear about God. I went to church because my mum and dad made me go to church and I was expected to go to church. I used to sit and make up army lists so that I would know what army I was going to be fighting my friends with later on that afternoon or during the week. What do I go to church for now? I go to church to hear the gospel. I get to hear it. And I tell you what, there's a lot of us preachers need the gospel more than just the ones that you hear it. We need to think about it. We need to write our notes about it. We need to type up our sermons about it. And then we need to hear it as we preach it. We need it too. What did you go out in the wilderness for to see? Not a reed shaking in the wind. I'm not here to entertain. I'm not someone in fancy clothes because I don't have any. But I pray a prophet, a preacher, someone that will bring you the word of God that will save your soul for the endless ages of eternity and make something of your life right now. God bless you. Thank you for spending your time with us on this resurrection day. And again, I hope to see you soon. All right. Well, we have a song to sing. I can't remember which one it was. There is a green hill. We sang There Is a Green Hill, didn't we? My head's away. Number 10 in our little black books, Thine Be the Glory.
Glorious Prince of Life.
thank you once again for joining us. This is the end of our Resurrection Sunday service, but sometime very soon you should be expecting a knock on the door or a tap on the letterbox and a CD, or I think in this case some song sheets maybe through the door. But whether you spin us up, whether you click on us, or whatever you do, we pray you have a good Lord's Day, a good Resurrection Sunday. And don't forget about him when Easter's over. Love you. God bless you. Thanks for tuning in. We look forward to seeing you very, very soon. We're going to dismiss with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do indeed love you, Lord, and thank you for all that you've done for us. We thank you, Lord, for the great salvation that your Son purchased for each and every one of us. We thank you, Lord, for the other comforter that we will get, that you give us whenever we turn away from our sins, when we make that space in our hearts and chuck our sins out and accept the Holy Spirit in. We thank you, Lord, for the years that your Son walked amongst us in the world, for the miracles that he did, for the confirmation of who he was, but most of all, Lord, for him raising himself from the dead. Bless us as we part company, Lord. Bless us as we go our separate ways. See us safely home. See us safe at home as well. Please save souls, Lord. Please edify the saints. Please give our leaders wisdom. Please bless the Jews and Israel, Lord. And we just thank you and love you. And we pray all these things in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. All right. We will see you again at the next appointed time. God bless you. Bye-bye.